Chapter 38. When Jesse Stone got back to the station, he stopped at the desk to ask Alicia if he'd missed anything. As she opened her mouth to answer, Jesse interrupted, pointing at the large brown envelope in front of her. "Is that for me?" "It is. How did you—" "Who delivered it?" She shrugged. "A messenger?" "Did he make you sign something? Did he give you a receipt?" "No, he just said this was for you and to make sure you got it."
"What did he look like?"
"I'm sorry, Jesse, I was taking a call and I really wasn't paying attention."
"White, African-American, Asian,
"White," she said. "Late 30s, I think. On the small side, but I couldn't swear to it. Glasses, maybe. That's all I can remember. I was paying more attention to the woman on the phone. I guess he was kind of nondescript."
Jesse's throat went dry. "That's okay. Did you hear a car pull up in front before he came in?"
"Come to think of it, I did. I heard brakes squeal, like they needed new pads. He left it running."
"Could you tell anything about it from the sound of the engine?"
"Small car? A Honda, maybe?" She shrugged again. "I don't know. I can't be sure."
"How long ago?"
"I'm surprised you didn't run into him outside."
"Okay," Jesse said, about facing. "Get on the horn to everyone on patrol and give them as much of a description of him and the car as you can. I want him picked up for questioning. He may be armed and dangerous, but maybe not. He may be what you said he was, a messenger. Emphasize non-lethal force and firing only if fired upon. I want to know if anyone spots him. And treat that envelope like evidence. Bag it and put it in the locker until I get back." Jesse was out of the station and in his Explorer. He wasn't sure where he was going, but at least he had some idea of who and what he was looking for. This was all so reminiscent of how Peepers had had the photo of Jen delivered after their first confrontation. That time, Molly was at the desk when the messenger delivered the envelope, and it was Molly who'd handed it to Jesse. He remembered going cold inside when he saw the message written on the back. "Do you ask a praying mantis why?" It was a reference to the one conversation Jesse had had with Peepers. It was just before Suit got shot. Jesse had asked Peepers why he enjoyed inflicting pain.
"Do you ask a praying mantis why?"
was what he'd said. That response alone was enough to put a scare into most people. It had certainly given Jesse pause. And when Jesse saw it written on the back of the photo of Jen, he didn't hesitate before calling Jen's phone. But when she picked up, he hadn't known what to say. "Watch out, there's a psycho killer following you around and it's my fault. Lock yourself in a room and don't come out until I tell you. Hire a bodyguard." In the end, he figured the best way to keep his ex-wife safe was to keep his distance from her. Since Jesse assumed the messenger, whether it was really Peepers or not, wanted to get out of town as fast as he could, he drove the most direct route away from the station to the highway. He didn't speed more than a little and didn't use his portable cherry top. He couldn't afford to spook the man he was looking for. He didn't want to give him a reason to run. After he listened to Alicia alert the patrol cars, as he'd ordered her to, he got on the mic and told them to ride along the most traveled routes out of town. "No lights and sirens unless he runs," he said. "We don't want any citizens caught up in this. First thing you do if he runs is get on the horn and report your position and where he's headed." It didn't take long before someone was on the radio. It was Suit. "I got eyes on," he said. "White 1991 Nissan Sentra, mass tag number 421, X-ray 1 Tango. He's proceeding north along Old Main Street, turning west onto Dock Road. I'm far enough back that I don't think he sees me." "I'm close," Jesse said. "He's heading to the swap," and then Suit shouted, "He's running! Just hit his gas and turn the wrong way north on Amherst." Jesse heard Suit's siren pierce the late morning quiet. "Stay in pursuit, but don't try to overtake him," Jesse said. "I will head him off at Whaler and force him down Trench Alley. All other cars block off access to the highway." Jesse reached around behind him to the back seat and retrieved his seldom-used cherry top. He stuck it on the roof of his Explorer and hit the siren. With the tourists gone and the kids back in school, traffic was light. He He floored the SUV and raced up past where Suit was chasing the suspect. Jesse wasn't sure whether his engine was revving higher than his heart rate. All he could think about was putting an end to it here, stopping Peepers before he got a chance to get at Jen. If they could capture him now, everyone would be safe. Suit, Healy, Molly, Diana. They would all be able to breathe again. The last several weeks had been a hellish limbo for them all. Where is he now, Suit?
On Welby, heading toward Millstone.
Jesse swung a hard left onto Millstone. Just as he hit the intersection of Welby and Millstone, he saw the white Sentra heading right at his driver's side door. Suit's cruiser, four car lengths behind it. The little Nissan swerved left into Trench Alley, its tires smoking and rear end fishtailing as it went. The acrid stink of burning rubber came up through the Explorer's air vents, but Jesse smiled. They had him penned in now. Trench Alley dead-ended at Sawtooth Creek. Jesse looked in his rear view, and when he saw Suit fall in behind him, he gave the thumbs-up sign in the rear view. Then things went sideways.